Hey guys, it's producer Henny.
Hey, what's up? It's Dweezy.
Hi, what's up? I'm Lebo.
And look at us. We're all in the same video. Look at that. Shout out. This is episode 10. This is the season finale of season number 2. We're wrapping it up. It's been a crazy season.
Damn.
So far.
So crazy.
A lot of ups and downs. A lot of confessions, a lot of questions, a lot of me and Lebo also exposing ourselves. Maybe what you guys also see about me and Lebo is far worse than what we actually are.
It's not that bad.
Because it's literally just like a few stories, and they're probably the only stories we have. Sometimes we just had bad experiences and wild experiences. We don't have the normal ones like you guys do. But here we are.
I've never had anything like super crazy happen to me. Like maybe people having sex in front of me. That's the worst. Something's like,
the hole just gets deeper. Penny, for you, crazy season, we've had one.
I've enjoyed the season, even though it was on a Zoom call. I wish I was here most of the time, but I've really enjoyed. I think the only regret I have was admitting that I bagged. You know what I'm saying? I need to process the associations that I'm getting in my head now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
For you, highlight of the season?
Highlights, damn. It's you guys calling me a whore in my DMs because I do the sex show when I really am not.
You're not a whore.
I'm really not.
You're not.
I mean, I could be because, like,
if you want to.
If I wanted to, but I'm not.
I think my highlight of the season, I think it must normally be, I will highlight, like, the do's and don'ts. Like, when we've spoken about, like, being a online sex operator and all of those, like those right there, those are moments.
This is Tanks FM 107.2. It is the sex show.
Sex show.
It is episode number 10, the season finale. And
yes,
we decided for the show that we obviously had to do something a little bit special, a little bit extra. We've spoken a lot this season, obviously, about OnlyFans, about the industries. We've even spoken about I think it was like episode 8 or something, where it was the online stripping and the strip clubs now saying they get to put it all online. And then we thought of a concept of actually having an exotic dancer who works in the industry join us today. Firstly, Rexy, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to go straight into it. Listen, you're an exotic dancer. What is it like? What's your experiences like? How's the industry? Just explain to us how you got into it and all of that.
Well, when I got into it, I actually was I was working at OnPlus, believe it or not.
I met
a stripper there, and exotic dancer, obviously.
Yeah.
And she said, "Listen, you are really pretty, and you can make a lot of money. So, come to Jesus, work with us." And I was like, "You know what? Why not?" So that's how that started.
What's the application process like? So you obviously, your friend at OnClass says, "Come to Jesus, come work at Jesus." What's that application process like of saying, now I'm going to go to Teasers now and say, listen, I want to work for you guys?
Okay, well, so basically I just went in, I spoke to the manager and I said, I want to be a dancer here. And then she just quickly took a look at me and she's like, okay, no problem. And then I was like, when can I start? I think I started the following day, and they do obviously give you a form to sign in and
little
things to say you do work there. So that's basically it.
Hectic. So what has it been like? So you obviously experience a lot. Just what's the working hours like? Are you working just in the evenings? How long are those shifts? Do you work a day job at the same time as well?
So there's not much room for a day job, unfortunately, but the hours aren't as horrible as people usually say. You can actually choose, because a lot of people do have families and stuff. So you can choose to either work during the day and every second Saturday,
okay,
which is obviously from 12:30 till 6. And then the night hours are from 6 till closing, which can be around 2, 3, 4, which is obviously where the most money is at night. So you can either choose to work at night or at day, or you can do both.
Okay.
So, Rexy, how is it like being in a strip club and working in a strip club? Because, I mean, I'm obsessed with stripper vlogs, so I'm always watching strippers from the outside. But how is it like being in the inside? How's the industry? How do you get treated as a woman who works, obviously, half nude, sometimes fully nude?
Well, where I work, it's fully nude. So, honestly, I don't know what the fuss is about. It's really not that bad. Everybody does treat you nice. The clients, obviously, every man is different. You got to accept that. So sometimes they don't like you, then they don't like you. They like someone else. So if you're brunette, they prefer blonde. It's always different. You can't be everyone's type. And the girls, they understand that at least. So it makes it easier to work there.
So in terms of your confidence when you work, do you ever feel like, you know what, I'm having a bad day, I don't feel pretty? Or did you, like, before going into the industry, were you very confident about your body and yourself?
Well, before I went into the industry, I was already doing boudoir modeling. So I was already comfortable with my body. So doing that was naturally easy. It's just sometimes you do feel down because of, you know, personal issues at home, but work and personal issues, two different things. So when you get in there, like, so I'm Rexy. You walk into the club, you're Rexy. You leave your other personality at home. You're a complete different person.
So you play a character.
Yes, you're a character.
So like you're, I said, I'm sorry for cutting you off. Continue.
No, it's fine. You're basically, you are this dream to everyone. Mm. You know, like a goddess.
So like I said, I have an obsession with stripper vlogs, and I've seen that some men don't want you to be naked or dance in front of them. Sometimes they ask for weird things, like they just want to talk and they just want to sit down and chill with you. What is the weirdest
thing that I've done? It's a little bit, it's like PG-18 type vibes.
The show is PG-18.
Yeah, can I say it?
You can say whatever you want to. There is absolutely no filter or censor here.
Okay, so there was this guy the one time. And we sat in the VIP area, not in the VIP area, in the boob dance area. So it's a different area. And he paid for a boob dance, but he didn't want to touch me or anything. He just wanted me to, like, open and close my vagina. And what he told me was, how do you acquire such long labia lips? And I said, it's genetic. And the next thing he did was, do you think my daughter would have it?
What the? Cut the cameras. Get it.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know. It's genetic. And she's like, her mother had it. Do you think she will?
Oh my God.
And I was so shocked. And then there was also this another time, like, if you put your thumbs together and you, like, open your, and your, like, finger next to it, you, like, open wide. So the one guy was like, if you can fit your arse in here, then you can get a table dance. So he was strictly, like, no overweight girls, and your butt had to be, like, a certain size.
My.
So, like, open up his hands and, like, if you can fit in here, you get a table dog.
The trenches. I'm sorry, that's the trenches. That no right ways. There, that right there is no bottom ways. Barrel. Bottom barrel. No so, Lexi, I'm going to go into more of the serious sides right now. In terms of the money and stuff, how is the money? How is it in terms of sustaining your familyhood, your livelihood? What's all of that like?
Honestly, there's this whole stereotype of strippers make like 50,000 rand a night, you know. Yeah. That's not true. But we do make quite decent money. So it does help a lot. And the thing is, by the time that I was 19 years old, I started when I was 18.
Yeah.
By the time that I was 19 years old, I had my own 3-bedroom home. I took care of my grandfather and a friend. So
Like, the money is weak. Like, you were paying it off yourself.
I was paying everything. Nobody else in the house was working.
Wow.
I was the only one in the place.
What the fuck am I doing?
That's racks.
Yeah, and the thing is, I gave my grandfather $2,000 a week.
Yeah?
Every week. So that's $8,000 a month. And the house was about $8,000 as well. And, like, obviously that's minus electricity, that's minus the water, all of those things. And then still, obviously, your weekends, you're out partying, you obviously go. I was so crazy the one night, I think I swiped, like, 20,000 on shots. I bought 360 shots.
No way! We need to reevaluate.
But that was, like, the first time that I've ever gotten money. I was like, this is the most money I've ever made in my life.
So you just splurged.
I just blew it. You have to. You have to at least do it once in your life.
So then financially, everything sound and fine. Obviously, now moving into the model with the invention of OnlyFans and all of that kind of thing. Have you ever thought of yourself moving into that industry? Do you feel that the industry of OnlyFans is taking some business away necessarily from you? Or do you think the live element of being an exotic dancer works and continues to work in your favor?
Honestly, I've tried it. I have tried it. I think I did it for 2 days. I got bored.
Oh, wow.
It's not the same.
Okay.
It's not the same as, like, you know, chatting to someone. Yeah. And it's like, hey, how are you? You know, what do you want?
Yeah.
Instead of at work, it's like, hi, what can I do for you today? You know, you can physically show them, everyone, how excited you are to do this and to dance for everyone.
It's
amazing.
Does the dancing and everything also translate now into your personal life? So if you're seeing someone, if you're with someone, can you turn the character off, for example, if you're going into more intimate moments with your own partner?
Yes, definitely, because a exotic dancer persona and the real you is obviously two different people. So if you're going to be this nightclub, crazy dancing, shots go, and then at home you sit, you chill, you read books. You know, it's completely different.
But I'm speaking now more when you start going into, like, for example, like sexual encounters with your partner. Does parts of, like, that element of what you do sort of come out in the bedroom?
You know what? Yes. But you still try and mask it, because sometimes they know.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, they know. They can see something different.
Okay.
Because obviously, like I said, it's a different personality.
Yeah.
But if the boyfriend wants lap dance, you give him that lap dance. It's going to make him very happy.
Now, let's talk more serious. The stigma and everything around it. Obviously, there is big stigmas and there's many stereotypes that you have to deal with, not only in your family life, in your personal life, in the public eye, to the point where just you can't be honest about the profession you're in. How do you deal with that stigma? And how would you advise someone who maybe is considering, I mean, if Lebo now wanted to go be a stripper.
Damn, I do now.
How does she want to go and deal with the stigma and everything that comes with being an exotic dancer?
So the thing is, I've always been honest with everyone about being a dancer. And even when I got out, like, I thought maybe promoting more clients and everything, that would be better. But the thing is, you do grow up. You do get a family. You do get somebody that obviously loves you and all of that. So my advice would be, don't go flaunting into the world. Keep your personal life and your work life completely separate. Because one day you're going to meet someone that you really like a lot. And they are going to just be like, oh, but you're just that stripper. You're just that stripper. And they're not going to want to commit. Nobody wants to commit because you're a stripper. And that is so sad, because that doesn't make you who you are at all.
And I think that's the, at end of the day, that's the biggest thing that we need to leave off with, because a lot of people define exotic dancers as being whores, as being, and they'll slut shame you very easily and treat you a certain way, when at the end of the day, it could just be your means
your
to support your family. It's your job.
Yes. No, there's so many times that I've been called a whore stripper, a whore mother, all of those things by people that you thought so close to you. And
So then, just to wrap it all up, before we leave you and everything, Do you see yourself staying in the exotic dancing industry for a while? Do you see it coming to an end soon? And then what happens next? What happens afterwards?
The thing is, most girls, what they do, I'm not there yet, almost, but most girls, what they do is they work for like maybe 3-4 years, sometimes less, and then they save that money and they go and they open up a business.
Okay.
Mm. Yes, so what I want to do is I want to open up a pole dance studio / gym.
Oh, that's stunning. Yeah, that's amazing. I think that's actually a very big industry for a lot of women.
I'd go, definitely.
That would be your first customer.
I've taught so many people.
You've taught so many people pole dancing.
Yes, how to pole dance, yeah.
I mean, I would say someone in my family did pole dancing for a while as well.
I think
it's
learn
a fantastic
so
form of exercise. It really is.
It should be a sports in the Olympics. Have you seen what those people do?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'll teach you.
Level's got something to do next week. But listen, Rexy, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for sharing what you do in the industry, how it is for you, and carry on doing what you're doing. We definitely have no problem with what you're doing. We happily support you. We would happily come and support you as well.
Definitely.
At some point. But thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your day.
Hey, what's up? So we've been doing confession sessions, relationship gurus questions, and like burning questions.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
So we've been doing them, and what we're doing today is we're doing these things basically live. We've got a whole bunch of messages that are coming through right now. We put up like chat boxes on our Instagram and everything. So we're just gonna go through some of the messages. We're gonna start through what Lebo is coming through on her side. So before the question starts, we'll tell you that whether this is a confession, whether this is a relationship question. Lebo, the DM's on your phone, like in your booth.
My DM.
Let's just see what's happening there.
It's long, should I read the whole thing?
Yeah, this is the first guy. Are we gonna say names? No, we won't say your name.
Let's just say Simon because it's a general name. It's a real name.
But you know who you are when you're watching this back. What's their story?
Those girls who don't like getting hit. Is it really a thing? I thought everyone liked getting hit. I met a couple of girls who said that. One girl even went as far as to say if a guy gave her hit, she wouldn't respect. Nigga, what the f... And she wouldn't be able to get hit from a guy she sees as a boyfriend material, but she gives hit. What do you do when someone you're getting into a sexual relationship with says they don't like getting hit? Because that's weird to me. Do they really not like it? Or could it be that they're low-key insecure about the smile or the way it looks?
Look, I think my advice was going to go into maybe she doesn't want to get hit because of those things.
Yeah.
Because of the insecurities. Because if she's saying that him giving her head is like a bad power move and she won't respect him for giving head. You won't respect someone for giving head. Unreal.
I'ma be honest.
Go ahead, talk your shit, sis.
I don't necessarily not like getting head, I just could go without it.
But why? It's your sexual pleasure.
Clearly, she doesn't derive pleasure from...
So you don't derive pleasure from getting hit?
Not always. Like, if you know how to do it, then maybe there'll be, like, 5 minutes of pleasure there. Don't do it for too long. Also, don't put, like, 15 minutes of gargling my shit up.
Not the gargle.
I don't dislike it, but like I could literally go the rest of my life having sex and not get hit. Perfectly fine.
Maybe, would you want to get hit?
First and foremost, Lebo doesn't speak for me. She don't speak for me, child. Obviously, I don't know, but I can guarantee that I'm gonna need you to give me some gargle.
Gargle wants to be dripped outside of me.
Exactly. Stanley was talking that shit.
I think it's just important for reciprocation. I think it's important for if I'm going to go down on you, that you're also going down on me. We're both experiencing foreplay in a respectable and reciprocal nature. Otherwise, she's also just saying, like, maybe she likes playing the submissive role. Maybe that's also her saying, like, or not wanting to be, she's maybe the dominant. So she's saying, if you're giving me head, then I can't be dominant in bed. I'm not going to be able to exert myself, because you almost have to, you're vulnerable when your legs are open and someone is down there. You're vulnerable.
I'm empowered.
I was probably one of those people that, like, squeezes her legs together around his head. Just like,
Who the fuck does that shit?
It's fine. One day.
But also, I could go without getting head, but also, if you don't try give me head, I'm gonna be a little offended, because, like,
Wait a minute. But what if, say now they're watching the sex show? They see that you don't like getting hit. They meet you. They like you. You like him back. He's like, okay, fine. I don't gotta give you hit because you said you don't like hit.
That's also respectable communication.
Come on now.
This is what I said to the guy that I'm seeing right now. If you see something on the sex show and you have a question about it, come to me and ask me about it. Because you don't know, I could be playing a character on this shit. I'm not. This is me. But, like, I could be playing a character on this shit. You don't know. So come to me and talk to me about it. I mean, you're an adult. Communicate.
I also think for Simon, you need to understand that it's also not about you. Mm. Like, you can't keep on being like, oh, you don't love me because you don't want to give... You don't want me to give you head.
Mm.
Like, you didn't stretch before you reached. Mm-hmm. You need to calm it down. It's not that personal. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't want head, don't give her head. That's fine. You move on.
Also, the insecurity thing. The fuck? You think it smells... Honey, we boss. And we...
You also don't speak for...
All also, of yes. Ah, bros. I didn't have bros.
Ah, bros.
Okay, let's go to the next one. This is sort of a relationship guru question. Yeah. I think that was someone doing their relationship guru. Okay, so let's move on to the next question. Unlock this little brick of yours quickly.
I will kill you. I will make an attempt on you.
Okay, so the other question we have, someone sent through, was she's actually an international watcher, viewer of the show.
We're international, bitch.
And she asked, now this is sort of just like, it's like a mix between a confession and also like a burning question, but she basically asked, how do you feel about, like, tasting your own vaginal juices and cum during masturbation, or, like, even during sex?
Can I go?
Yeah.
I can endorse a vap, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if
I can... You didn't know there's a vap princess?
I don't know if I can endorse the tasting of the vaginal juices.
So not even just, like, a little...
I just don't think, personally for me, that doesn't make the greatest...
Have you ever tasted what you taste like down there? Personally,
No, I've never been enticed. I've never thought about it, but now the thought is in my head. So,
stay tuned. Season 3, she's coming through with more than vamping. You?
I'm gonna be honest.
Yes.
Don't do that shit. What the fuck is wrong with you, bro? What the fuck is your problem?
You're the kinks.
Oh my god. Oh, but maybe, also, you kiss him after he gives you head, which is the same thing. So, like.
Period.
It's so technically, I've tasted myself.
I think it is somewhat of a fetish for you to taste your own juices. I think everybody in their lifetime has possibly tasted what cum tastes like, whether it was someone else's cum, or maybe accidentally while you were masturbating, you, like, rubbed your face or something, and then maybe some of the remnants went in your mouth. I'm not gonna lie. Possibly, I do somewhat know. But it is what it's. I'm not saying that it's a fetish of mine to, like, come in my own hand. And
but
then,
it's,
like,
happened accidentally.
But accidentally, the transfer of juices has taken place.
Have you ever accidentally touched your ear and then.
But it's the same thing! It's the same thing!
Have you ever done it?
Like your own earwax.
And then you.
Okay, yeah, earwax.
That should just. Terrible.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
But let me just think, but, like, your ear to your mouth is such a short distance from your private part to your mouth.
Another relationship guru question we have here. More people actually came through with relationship guru questions.
Mm.
He asked, how do you handle a situation where your partner wants to try a foursome in a monogamous relationship?
Not
now, remember, we've spoke about threesomes, like,
2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They jumped from 3 to now 4 people.
Oh, bruh. No ways, bruh. Oh.
I think the biggest thing there is the monogamous relationship. It's why do you want to have the foursome in the monogamous relationship? I think there is a...
Yeah.
There is a... There, on the one side, there is a... We if we're willing to bring something extra into the room, we can. But on the other side, it's... You're not satisfying enough. I'm going to bring... Another
two.
It sounds like it's another couple almost, because it almost sounds like they have the monogamous relationship and they're bringing in another couple, like a swingers situation.
Yeah, maybe it's a swingers situation. I don't know. Maybe a swingers situation is like communication, but if it's a monogamous relationship, clearly.
But also, what's the ratio? Imagine I'm a honey and my guy brings two more guys.
Wait a day.
Kimberly's big hole.
Wait a
damn
minute.
That's what it's gonna be.
Or you're one man and he brings three other men and you're the bottom. So all of them on you. It's like a gangbang, dog.
But yeah, but some people are into that. Some people are into that. Some people like that kind of thing. It is what it is. I just think that if it's a monogamous situation,
yeah,
it becomes problematic.
Very much so. I think communication, like we've always said in every episode, is very imperative. But if you are in a monogamous relationship, I don't know why you're trying that. But anyway.
Question where it's... Because if this was never a discussion going in. So, for example, if me and my partner were like, you know, at some point, if we're in our relationship, we want to bring other people through. At least when we set up our monogamous relationship, it was with the consideration of maybe another person going to join. Maybe another couple's going to join. Definitely. Maybe we're going to go out and have an orgy. But if this is now 6 months down the line, you all of a sudden be like, so baby, how about we bring some other people in? Then maybe there's a thing of like, I'm not happy or comfortable with just
like,
you.
Bitch, what? Another person?
What?
I am the alpha. No, if we're together, I am the alpha. I am the omega.
Okay,
it's all
Jesus.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to the last two or three.
Yeah.
A girl over here says slut shaming. Our opinion on slut shaming.
I'm a slut. Harriet is a slut and she a virgin. Gwen's a slut. We're all sluts.
Period.
Yeah, I think the line gets drawn very badly. Some people will call you a slut if you slept with one person.
How?
Some people will call you a slut if you've sucked three dicks but you've never had sex. People will call you a slut for anything these days.
I'm just saying, if they're calling you a slut, it's their own insecurities that they are, you know, pushing on you. So just fuck it.
Also, don't slut shame. Leave people sexualized. It's not your business.
Like, are you dumb?
It's really not your business.
Sis.
Call us a slut, but it's also what we do and what we say, and sometimes maybe even the characters we portray.
Yeah.
It's none of your business as well.
Also, you don't know me in real life. Like, you see me on Instagram, on YouTube, and you think.
You assume.
Damn, bro.
Period.
She could be the most sensitive person on earth. She could just like someone to hold her hand.
Okay, so we got another DM from somebody. It's on my phone, but I, you know, that's okay. Somebody asked, when is it the right time to stop shaving your pubes when you get into a new kind of situationship/relationship?
I ain't never gonna stop. I'm not gonna lie. Every single time you see me, my shit is gonna be spotless. That's one thing you can be sure
of. I think 5 years down the line?
Yeah. In utopia.
Yeah.
Where you don't get lazy. Things don't get busy. For example, me, I do have some chest hair.
Mm-hmm.
I also have hair down there.
Mm-hmm.
I get lazy to shave it off.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I will make sure like once a month I do the upkeep of saying trim.
But every time,
Liberal? But every single time you're going to have sex.
No.
Every single time they're
going to
see you naked.
No. So like there is no nigga who is at my place once every week, and also once every week is not a lot. So if you're coming today, I know you're gonna come. I know what we're gonna do. So I'm gonna shave today and make
you're
sure my shit's
shaving
clean.
Cream,
but why are you shaving?
Because that's the way I like it.
Okay.
Okay, that's
you see, I will do it where it gets to the point of hygienically, it's no longer a good vibe.
Yeah,
because with male pubes, even with like hair down in those areas, even the chest hair, you have to keep it to a limit before it starts keeping the germs. And it starts doing those kinds of things. I know those limits, so I'll cut it off at that limit.
I also like take it off right before my period, because you don't want no hair stuck up. stuck with no blood.
Also, I know we get caught in the position of what happens, Henny. Let's say you're dating a guy.
Yeah.
This guy says, girl, I want the Amazon rainforest between your legs. Don't shave. Will you then not shave?
You're asking a deeper. This one is a deeper. I think, obviously, if your partner is like, look, I like a little bit of hair down there, sure. Can I give you the Amazon?
I can give you a landing strip. That's how much I can give
you. I don't know if I want to give you the Amazon.
She can maybe give you like knife now.
Yeah.
She can give you like...
I can give you the cigar, mommy. Damn, bro.
No, I think also like for me, like, if they say leave the chest hair a little bit, then yeah. I'll be like, I bet. Then
yeah.
Where I used to shave it all off and where I used to be like clean shaven down below, I won't be now if you like a little bit of fur. If you like a little bit of a rug before you enter the home, you know,
yeah.
Then it's fine. But
damn, at least let me trim my shit. The Amazon. Fuck.
Yeah, then put a landing strip.
Yeah, just...
I personally, how do you shave your landing strip?
I don't shave
a landing strip, so I'm going to have to do it.
And it's like...
I've never done a landing strip. I always take it all off.
Yeah, period. I don't... landing strips don't make
so
sense.
So, baby.
Just baby.
Bare, naked mole
rats. Baby.
You want to see it?
Okay. I've got a book. This girl came to her with a relationship guru question. She says, my boyfriend and I have been friends for a long time. We've always been attracted to each other, but we didn't do anything about it. Middle last year, we were drunk and we ended up kissing, like everyone does. Mm-hmm. We both then spent 3 months denying that kiss, and what followed didn't mean anything. He then drove 6 hours somewhere in December, leaving his holiday just to see me. 6 hours, bro?
You're
better. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. And then... what happened was I realized I had feelings, and when I asked him about his feelings, he admitted he'd been in love with me since the middle of the year 2019. Anyway, we got together and it's been heaven. Everything that there should be in a relationship was there. We were in sync with everything. The lockdown started and he went back to treating me like just a buddy. After regarding our intimacy, I have confronted him about it and he asked straight if he wasn't physically attracted to me anymore, but he just said that he calmed down. He's literally celibate, so I'm now celibate.
Leave those things in a relationship celibate. Hey, please.
He even speaks to me as if I'm his friend. There's no deep conversation, no romantic bonding. We're back to the friend zone whilst officially dating. And I know in a relationship there should be a form of friendship, but I miss my boyfriend, of not being able to hold hands, miss seeing him, miss the crude funny comments about our sexual lives. I know he loves me in a romantic sense and I love him. I just wish that we could be a loved up couple again. And it seems like the long distance is affecting us. And they wanted to remain anonymous. Her boyfriend doesn't want her boyfriend to find any of this. He'll never forgive her.
The layers. It's the layers for me. I mean, so now they're celibate.
Well, she's saying she's not getting the same sexual responses, the same sexual action as before.
I mean, look, long distance obviously takes a toll on any relationship, right? But if lockdown now made you wanna, I thought it would do like the opposite. Now, every time you see each other, it's like,
go be a rabbit.
It's just like you're just pouncing on each other. So the fact that it's the opposite is quite concerning for me. I don't know how you guys feel.
I have a friend who once said the sex in her relationship was so bad that she decided, you know what? My body's the temple of God. I'm going to become celibate. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe your shit doesn't bang.
No, never.
That is the worst advice we have heard this season from Lebo. That is the worst advice.
Mara, where were you going? Long distance. Where were you going? What were you thinking? Look at you now.
This is why she doesn't play this part.
Yeah, you're just gonna keep.
So me and Henny are gonna carry on giving the advice.
The proper advice.
I think the moment at which you lose the intimacy, you have to bring something new.
Yes.
So maybe his celibacy could be, not saying it is, because he's not, your shit doesn't bang, but maybe he's bored. Maybe he doesn't see anything new, and maybe you need to bring something fresh and exciting to the bedroom. The other thing I will say is sex is not the be-all and end-all of the relationship.
I, you, say, you say
We've said it before. Where sex, if just because you're not having sex doesn't mean you can't have a relationship. My biggest issue in this advice over here would be you need to fix the situation of just being treated like a buddy.
Yeah.
And bring the romance back. And you need to talk about bringing the romance back. And sometimes maybe even force it, even though you want it, you need to force it out so that it can come back. Because what flows afterwards, you're a bitch. What flows afterwards is as soon as that romance comes back and that intimacy on a personal level comes back, I think the intimacy on the sexual level will naturally flow itself back into your
cheat, bro! Cheat! What the fuck? You don't want to give me pain! We're dating and you don't want to have sex!
Look,
the
other...
The
other option is that if it's really not working and he's not getting his happiness and you're not getting your happiness, the honest answer has to be, well, we need to be honest with ourselves. We're not being romantic. We're not being sexual. So all we are is friendships. Friendship supports friendship. It doesn't support a relationship.
Yeah.
There's other facets to it.
I ashamed. Let me be honest. For once in this entire show, you guys need to sit down and have a conversation about it.
Wow.
He needs to drive that... What is it? 600 kilometers or 6 hours? He needs to drive it again, or you need to get onto a bus and go that side and go see him. And you guys need to see if it's the distance... That's the problem. Maybe it's because you haven't been seeing each other, or if your shit actually doesn't bang.
But it could also just be like the chase. You know, there are people in this world that really love the chase, and once they get the girl or they get the date, it's like, ugh, okay, why even bother at this point?
Yeah.
So that's also another perspective.
So it's a tough situation. Hopefully it works out for you.
Yeah.
Don't listen to her. Listen to her.
I literally gave good advice at the end.
At the end, baby.
Still questionable. At the end. Then quickly, just the last question. Someone did ask me just before the show started and before we started recording, they were going to join us on a call, but then their parents came home. They had an age-old question that we dealt with earlier this year. Why do skinny folk not like going for people with more curves? But I think we dealt with that well in,
kind of, yeah,
in
kind
sort of
yeah.
just like personal preferences and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I will say again, the size you are shouldn't be a requirement of
really
sleeping with someone or not.
I personally would not prefer a skinny guy, and I'm skinny. Not like, you see the fat part. I don't want to say fat, but like...
Say what you want to say, a big...
Yeah, this is your famous Twitter.
This is your famous Twitter. Say what you want to say.
You can be fat, but like, you can't be too much more fat than
the
my
ratio.
Skinny. Because you're going to break me. So I don't want you to be skinny, but like... You can't be 5 times my size either because I'm tiny.
Yeah, sexual compatibility.
Now I must be on top every day because if you go on top, you're gonna kill me.
Well, maybe build up some.
Fun. Yeah, maybe. Why don't you go to the gym?
Maybe skinny shaming.
So the one thing I will say is it should never be a thing of like you have too many curves. I do think that there is a real big problem in the world where bigger guys and bigger girls are often looked at either as finishers, so it's either skinny guys being like, I love myself a big baby. You know, that kind of thing. And then the other thing is sometimes people just generally find they don't see that part of you. I think what's important is it's unfortunate that we do live in a world where you have to find someone who's going to appreciate you for you.
Exactly.
And then be willing to also look past the fact that you have maybe a bigger build or you're a bigger human being. That's also fine. I also think that there is on the flip side an expectation that's created by a lot of bigger people and even skinnier people that, oh, I'm definitely going to get someone super muscular. That's your expectation. And some of the bigger people will maybe be like, I'm definitely going to get someone who's skinny and who looks good and who's fit. Maybe your expectation must also be, maybe I could be looking for someone who's got a similar body type to me, and I can, the same way that I expect someone to find loving me for being this build, I can expect to find loving them for being that build as well. It's a journey of discovery when it comes to
what matters is what's in here.
And here.
Okay, so now that she's gone soft on us, let's wrap it up. I think that's our live confession session and relationship guru and burning question. Thoughts of the season? We done now.
Well, we'll be back, but I'm gonna definitely miss constantly oversharing, just all the time.
One thing I will say is we do this for entertainment.
Yeah.
A lot of the time we put ourselves on the ledge, and we overshare. And sometimes we we blow up a situation in a way that never really existed. But we hope that you've been entertained. We hope that you've been happy. I also think that throughout the episodes, we've tried to make sure that we also give you guys lessons and education. So you've not only just been here for the education, but you've also been here for the insights. From my side, I've had so much fun.
I've had fun.
Listen, we be talking shit. All we do in this show is talk shit. It's not real life. This is not what needs to happen in your real life. You don't need to go for a skinny hun. Or, I said I wouldn't fuck an ugly gent in the last episode. Listen, you're not ugly. Looks are subjective.
Very much so.
But like, if you're ugly, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You were doing so well.
I'm kidding. You're not ugly. Someone is going to find you attractive. Even if it's not me. Damn, they said not everyone finds me attractive. Even... it's a hard pill to swallow. I know not everyone finds me attractive. Dwayne is like a fucking damn, and not everyone finds him attractive. Not everyone finds Henrietta attractive. You get what I'm trying
beautiful.
To say.
Okay.
But everyone is beautiful in their own way. So,
but I will say my last words is be honest with yourself at the end of the day. Don't hide parts of yourself from your own self. We've said it before with masturbation. We've said it before with sexual compatibility.
Definitely.
But also don't hide parts of yourself from someone else, because you never get to really relive your fullest and truest sense. And always be honest with the other people around you, so that things don't get blurred. We don't have situations where consent's an issue.
Yes.
We don't have situations where people are cheating on you, or where you're in a abusive relationship, or those kinds of things. Honesty, communication, I think that's our slogan end of the day.
Communication is very NB to me.
NB.
Everything can be solved by talking. So many things are lost in translation, where you decide, you know what, I don't want to talk about it, so I'm going to keep quiet because I'm shy, or because I'm embarrassed, or because I have a pride. Just sit your grown ass down, you're a fucking adult, and talk about it. And I swear, not everything is as bad as it seems.
Henny, final words?
Thank you for watching. I have personally become more confident and standing in my skin. You know, before the sex show, guys, I couldn't even admit that I used to masturbate. But thank you, guys. Just, it's been fun. And I mean, thank you for the views as well. I mean, like you said, we have people that watch out of South Africa. We really appreciate it. We thank you for just, you know, taking the time out of your week just to laugh at like somebody that's not yourself.
I'm doing the background.
It's fine, do the background, you know. It's nice to look at other people and like see that you're not the only Popeye in this world, you know. We are all Popeyes together.
Have sex, have fun, and we'll see you next season.
We love you. Bye.